Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
It's me, Kelvin.
It's me, Maggie.
You're listening to the Tuesday Afternoon Show, and we have our second guest in, do we not?
We have the lovely Greg Chapman in.
Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon. How are
we?
We're
well,
fine, thank you. And he's no relation to Jay Chapman.
No, none at all, as far as we know.
No, they're just doing their guests in alphabetical order this year.
Yeah, we're going to have two Johnsons in next week.
Are we?
Two, anyway. So, Greg, I would describe you as a thespian of various sorts.
I mean, that's the politest way you've described me, I think, since I've been coming for interviews.
I was going to do the travel news, but I didn't want to overshadow you.
Now, I've been informed I'm slightly more interesting than the traveller.
That's true, yes. I have that on good authority as well.
It's much more interesting than the traveller.
We were fortunate enough to see your show just before Christmas, which was eclectic, let's put it that way. It's great fun.
All over the place. I've just actually been asked by one of the people just outside the studio here what my show was about, and I said, Maggie, what was my show about? Because it's complicated to describe.
Well, I think it was a story of you and several personas finding this time machine and going back to the dinosaurs and having an alien invasion, and you're trying to strangle yourself, and you had potions, and you were one of the, what's it, thingy, well, I can't remember their name, Jekyll and Hyde, that's the one.
Yeah.
You were one of Mr. Hyde, I believe.
I did a bit of Mr. Hyde.
Yes, yeah. Tried to strangle yourself, and then you managed to get home so you could eat your cake.
It's so I remember very it. Strange. You remember the plot better than I
there
do,
you
I think.
Go.
It was a very energetic performance.
I did pay attention.
It usually is for me. Actually, it was, I think, my wife, Lady Felicity, actually said it best when, because I was saying to her, well, how do I describe the show? People ask about it. I'm starting to get inquiries for booking it out for next year. How do I describe the show? And one of us kind of came up with this phrase, I'm inviting people to come and play a game in my madness for 90 minutes. I'm not performing a play as such. A play for me has a fourth wall, it has a division. There's not that, but I am telling a story. But it's much more in my mind like I've got, right, this is the game I'm going to play tonight. This game is I'm going to play Greg Chapman travels through time in his Christmas show. Come along and join me in some fun.
And it was fun.
Can you imagine if this is what you see outside his head, what it's like inside his head?
I don't want to delve into
no.
his head
That's
at all.
Not a safe place to go.
I think his wife is a very brave lady, to be
she
honest.
She must be, yes.
She's brilliant, but she's also a fantastic director as well. She comes along to as many of the shows as she can, and she is... She's a wonderful, wonderful wife in that, you know, after the show, she'll tell me it was great and everything else.
But,
and I'm always hanging on for that but. And she does. She notices little things. But I'm going to go slightly off topic here. For example, just to give you an idea, it was my dad's 60th birthday a few days ago. And we decided...
Happy birthday, Greg's dad.
Happy birthday, Greg's dad. And we decided, as a present, we would get him tickets to go and see the big Harry Potter exhibition up in London. And I said, well... You know, tickets is a bit boring. I've got an idea. Why don't we get a picture of an owl, cut it out, attach it to a piece of fishing wire, and then we can actually have this cut out of an owl come swooping in, delivering a scroll with a message. And, you know, I say that to everyone else, and they give you exactly the sort of look that you two are giving me right now. She straight away went... Right, well, we've got to make sure we get the right kind of paper and we've got to make the right sort of letter that they have in Harry Potter, and it's got to have a proper wax seal on it. And that's why I married her, really.
She obviously understands you.
Yes, I'll just give her an envelope, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Here you go, here's tickets.
Yes. No, that's great. I mean, you are a born and bred showman, aren't you, at the end of the day?
Oh, quite different. And I think that is the bottom line, is it's going on stage, it's performing the show. It's, for me, any show I go and see is less about the, sort of less about the content in a way than it is about the performance. Teller, one half of Penn and Teller, the magical duo, says it best that what the performer is doing is he's giving you an excuse to look at somebody on stage. We're all interested in other people, and if there's someone we want to watch, we need that excuse, and that's what I try and go for. Make this show a strong enough excuse for you to want to, you know, to feel that when you've paid that money, you haven't paid that money for me just to stand there and just muck around, but mucking around is the very basis of what I do.
Yes, but with a purpose.
Exactly.
It is, yeah. And there's a... I was going to use the word plot. There is a storyline, let's put it that way.
There is a storyline. I'm glad you didn't dignify it with the word plot. I think that would have been too much.
There's a storyline. There's a beginning and an end, and there's a pathway between the two, and it may vary.
Exactly right, yeah. There's a through line of action in this particular show. It does have that feel. And we were just discussing, actually, just before we came on air, sort of how I come up with my shows, and that's very much how I come up with my shows. I have an idea of, you know, sort of different things I want to include as elements within the show, and then I try and come up with a through line of action, something that will carry us through those pieces so that it doesn't feel like everything has been just cobbled together. I've done a lot of shows, and, you know, I still do. Occasionally I'll get asked just to come along and perform Can You Do 90 Minutes of Magic or Escapology? And when you do something like that, you tend to go along, and it tends to be, right, this is my first trick. Now this is my second trick. Did you enjoy that? This is my third trick. And that is sort of classic magician. And what I wanted to do with this show was take it away from that and make it, right, this is the whole thing. It flows together. It doesn't just go, this is a bit, this is a bit, this is a bit. It has all those bits, but they flow together to make one complete show.
Excellent stuff.
As it would.
It would be, yeah.
As it goes from dinosaurs to alien invasions.
Well, how else could you do it?
It's logical, isn't it?
Well, exactly. That's the thing. Once you've got these strange ideas and trying to fit them together,
it's just logical.
Clever
bit. Yeah.
Well, I had an idea. We'll talk about your next project in a minute after we've had a break. But I had an idea of roughly what your show was about, because you give some idea of it. And I thought, how is he going to stage that? In Shelfleet Village Hall. Nothing wrong with Shelfleet Village Hall, don't get me wrong, but it's not exactly full of theatrical facilities.
No, and it's one of the things I really enjoy. I enjoy playing these little village hall type venues, and I did a few of them on the island this year, and Shelfleet was absolutely perfect for it. It has its own atmosphere, but like you say, it's not a theatre, it's not staged for that. It doesn't have, you know, sort of big fantastic backdrops, so everything I had to bring in with me, and I had to fit it into that small space. And as you say, as soon as you start thinking you've got 90 minutes and characters and things, you start thinking, well, hang on, there's only one guy there. What's going to, how's this all going to work? And that's what I always aim for. People coming and going, right, I don't know how he's going to do this. Let's see how he's going to play this game.
And then you go in and you see, well, your next project may be different, but there's a table or two full of props. You're thinking, what the hell? And you think, like, what is some of that
they
stuff?
Got all that stuff and a mince pie.
I've got to tell you, I did a show at Chillerton and Rookley Primary School yesterday. I did a show about the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the teachers in that particular school know me. I do various history-based shows for them throughout the year. And there was one teacher there yesterday who obviously hadn't seen any of my shows before. And I got in, and the same thing. Exactly what you say. I like to have props scattered around so they can come out, but they're also... I like when the audience come in, I like them to have something to look at. When you're sitting down 15 minutes before a show, looking at the stage thinking, oh, I wonder what he's going to do with it. So I was doing this show about the Stone Age, and I had, obviously, a set of juggling knives, a unicycle, various bits and pieces laying around. And I got in and I wrote the Stone Age on my chalkboard that I used during that show, and wrote the Stone Age, and the one teacher looked really confused. And I was a bit worried. I thought, am I about to perform the wrong show? And I said, you are expecting a show about the Stone Age. And she looked at all my props and equipment and she went, well, yes, I was expecting a show about the Stone Age.
But not quite what you're expecting to get, but you will get a show about the Stone Age, yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, and we've still got Greg Chapman in from...
You can't get rid of him. He won't go.
I've handcuffed myself in now.
Off of Greg Chapman, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were talking before the break about your loosely Wells-based... time machine
Christmas thing.
What's your next one that's coming up soon?
So my next one is going to be Greg Chapman Into the Wilderness.
Ooh.
And it's carrying on the same theme of the last one, and the theme is I can't be bothered to play a different character, so I'll just be me on stage. But this one, it takes the character of Greg. It's that weird thing which, you know, if we had 3 hours we could get onto the difference between the character Greg Chapman and the actual Greg Chapman that's sitting here in the studio. But the character Greg Chapman in this particular story has his airship crash land in the middle of a jungle.
Oh dear.
And I mean, I don't want to give away too many plot details, partly because I'll say something and then halfway through rehearsals I'll go,
you'll
that's not working,
mind,
and someone will come along to see that bit. But suffice to say, what we were talking about before the break, where you saw the description of the Christmas show and you thought, well, how's he going to do that? Well, Lady Felicity, my other half, she'd seen the Christmas show. She sees everything I've done. I was explaining to her the other day my vague idea for the plot of the new Into the Wilderness show, and she just said, well, how's that even going to be possible on your own? And I just kind of said, well, I've got an idea. And I kind of feel like the end of the Italian Job, just balancing on that bus, hanging over. I've got an idea. I'm not quite sure whether it's going to work yet, but
you'll
by the time we get to the 30th yes. of March and the first performance, we'll have a show, because it's going to be set in the jungle, the airship crashes, and I'm going to run into native tribesmen. I'm going to run into a bunch of
Did
animals.
You say naked tribesmen?
No, native. Right. Let's hope. depends what time show you come and see. And going to run into a whole group of people searching for a lost treasure. So with all of this going on, with one person on stage,
it isn't a mince pie, the treasure, is it?
There is no mince pies,
in the show.
The moment. Now, no doubt I will still find a way to fit some form of food in, because most of my shows do end up with me eating sooner or later.
So that's coming up in March. The opening night is?
Opening night is the 30th of March, and that'll be at Shelfleet Village Hall. And then there is another performance on the island on the 26th of April, which is at Bryston Scout Centre. And then there's going to be one more on the island, which will be the Friday the 10th of May, which will be at the Aspiring Ride.
Okay. Right.
Because I got severely ticked off by people for not having an East White venue on my last tour. I didn't venture over to this. No, well, I can't travel. That's the trouble. But I did. I've actually ventured over, and I've.
So you've got an East White venue, and you're taking this to the mainland as well.
And this will be going to the mainland as well. I've got three dates currently booked on the mainland, and we're just sorting out some more.
So it's
as
a
well.
Tour then.
It's always on tour.
A world tour.
Yeah. That is kind of for me the joy of this show is and my shows in general is. I like to perform to different audiences. You've got a couple of choices when you're sort of performing. You can either do new shows every week, what we used to have in repertory theatre doesn't work anymore because people don't go out often enough. Mm. And then you've got a choice of, well, I can kind of do, especially on a tourist island like this, you get the fantastic shows that come into a place like Shanklin Theatre every summer, and they do the same show every week, and they let the people come to them. And
yes.
That's a fantastic way to work, but for me, I would rather be in a different venue every week, playing, as we've discussed, Shelfleet Village Hall is brilliant, and it has its own aesthetic, and you move the show around, you get a completely different feel for the show.
It keeps it fresh,
depending where
it?
You are, exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. So tickets are now on sale for this show, presumably.
They are indeed. Yes, go to www.gregchapman.net.
We have our tickets.
You've got your tickets already. Brilliant, that's what I like to hear.
In fact, the world premiere.
World premiere, that is the one that is selling quickest. So if you'd like to see the world premiere, get those tickets quickly. And actually, can I just say, I mean, this is me being all serious for a moment. In terms of sort of local theatre, because we have this fantastic local theatre scene on the Isle of Wight.
We do. We're very spoilt.
We are so spoilt for choice. And the trouble is, because we're so spoilt, and I've been guilty of this as well, some of us have a habit of going, oh, well, look, they're doing that show, but I'll wait till a bit closer to the day to decide whether or not I'm going to go. I'll leave off buying the tickets for a bit. And the thing is, and this is sort of shows in general, because I've noticed this trend going on sort of over the last few years. If you're interested in a show and you want to go and see it, go and book your tickets nice and quickly. You know, if you want to go and see the next Strollers production or something, book your tickets nice and early, because it is going to make the people in that company feel wonderful.
Absolutely.
To know 2 months out, 3 months out, that they have a nice big audience.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, sort of a week before thinking, oh, I hope there's not a thunderstorm on the night, because if there's a thunderstorm, nobody's going to go out because they haven't got their tickets yet.
It's disheartening, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, it is. And
there's an awful lot of work goes into all these performances, not just yours, but the Strollers, as you say, and there's the Pepper Pot players and the Shanklin team and the... there's all sorts of them.
Origins.
Yeah. They put an awful lot of emotional effort and physical effort into these things. Mm. So it must be quite disheartening if no one turns up.
But it's not just a case of sort of no one turning up. It's also that thing of, I'm doing a show in Penzance in a couple of weeks' time. I'm going over to Cornwall to do a show. And it's the same venue I've been to before. And last time we sold the venue out. We're exactly the situation this time. We sold the venue out, on the night.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks before, we'd sold 10 tickets.
Yes.
And it's this sort of thing where, at that point in time, you're thinking, I'm going to travel all that way, and we've got 10 tickets, and hopefully it'll be exactly the same again, we'll sell it out again. And that's the way that venue tends to work. People tend to all come in and buy on the door. And this is the thing, all of these sort of little companies, especially the smaller companies, amateur dramatics companies, they just like to get that little bit of boost looking out a month early and going, oh, guess what? I know full well we're going to have a nice big crowd. And that is exactly what's happening, actually, with the Shalfleet show. Is it is filling up nicely.
That's good. And it is a nice venue. Got a reasonable amount of parking there, which the point Mark should be able to see where we're parking. It was pitch dark. There's virtually no lighting there at all.
Yes, we're short on lighting, but plenty of parking.
We can't have everything.
So that's Greg Chapman's amazing new adventure.
Into the wilderness.
He's got an airship.
He's bringing his own jungle with him.
And an airship, no doubt.
There will be an airship.
Yeah. just while you're here, you might as well plug the other things you do. You do private events and...
I do all sorts of everything. Yeah, I do private events, parties, shows and things like that. I have a web series called The Last Airship, which you can find, just search thelastairship.com. All filmed on the Isle of Wight, all with Isle of Wight actors, except for one or two scenes that were filmed in America.
Is that on YouTube?
That's on YouTube. Yep. If you go to thelastairship.com, you can play all the videos straight from there. You don't have to go, you can just search YouTube for it. And then I also have a little podcast as well called Tales from the Road. If anyone's interested in listening to podcast, I just once a week sit down and talk for half an hour off the top of my head, very much like what's been going on in here today. I talk off the top of my head and I just let you know what's going on with my shows and everything else.
And you also work with the Steam Railway?
I do a lot of work with the Steam Railway, yeah. I do about 20 different days there every year. I think my next time I'm at the Steam Railway is at Easter.
We're
looking forward to an Easter appearance at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway again.
Good.
Excellent stuff.
And just before I go, I do actually just have to say a big thank you to Vectis Radio as well.
It's a pleasure.
Because I know you supported me with the programme on both the last show and this show as well. So thank you very much, guys, for that as well.
We'd like to support local artists and local arts. And I think you fit both into both those categories.
We do our best.
Yeah, in a way.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
We will no doubt see you again. We will definitely physically see you again when we come to your opening night, which we're looking forward to already.
We are.
And, one of the things about the Shalfleet one is bring your own stuff to drink.
Bring your own food and drink. Most of them like that. Bring your own food and drink. You don't have to spend a fortune on the bar. Bring yourself a little snack, Bitcoin.
Likes his food.
And we'll see you again very soon.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.